Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
Great blessing to share the word. I feel I must someday bring my family to the evening service, the kids, and we can all meet them. Yeah. Oh, that's such a blessing. They keep us busy and they keep us entertained as well. Emily is the youngest one, and I must say she's really popping into a little madam. She's already choosing what she wants to wear. She's only 18 months. Yes, she just goes, she doesn't like something. She goes, David is the middle one. He's 3. And he's actually doing the toilet thing really well now. I know for some of you, this is weird. But let me just give you a little glimpse into the life of a parent. So he actually is doing really well. I'm just throwing it out there. He's doing really well. He does everything himself, except one or two bits we still help him with. But the other day, so he runs. I think he was busy with something, because it works like this. You know, if you're really busy with something important, you tend to postpone other things that seem less important, right? So I think that's what happened, because at one stage you just jumped up and you ran to the loo. And he says, no, I used to go. And he ran. And I think he made it into the bathroom, but I think he didn't quite make it, you know. And so we just heard this little voice, Papa. Or Mama, I can't remember what it was. And he says, I got a little bit on my trousers and on the mat. And on the bath. And then he just goes on. And on the cupboard. On the little cabinet, you know. And I think there's some on the wall now. But anyway, we just had such a laugh. Because you're just like, oh. And you know, just. So any case, praise the Lord. What a blessing it is to be a parent. And it's such a privilege to share the word this evening. We are busy with the One Life series. We, along with the prayer that's happening all across the city, we have a whole bunch of congregations. I don't know the exact number. Last year it was approaching 200. But we have a whole bunch of congregations across the city that are joining hands, that are preaching the same messages. We're very much the same, same kind of outlines. Proclaiming the gospel with one voice over our city. And it's really exciting to be a part of that. So you could be visiting a whole bunch of different churches this evening and you'd probably hear something very similar. It's really a blessing to be a part of this. So keep praying into that, keep praying into what God is doing in our city. So I'm just to pray a moment for the word. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that your word is alive, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, Lord. We choose this evening, Lord, to submit ourselves to your word, Lord, to submit ourselves to your will in us and through us. Lord, we thank you, Lord. Yes, that truly, that word that came in intercession earlier, truly you know each one of us here. You know each one. Even if we don't identify ourselves as your sheep yet, Lord, you know every soul in this place. You know every victory, you know every hurt, every pain. And we just come and bring that before you humbly this evening. And we say, Lord, even in all of this, in our victories and in our failures and in our pain and in our hurt, Lord, come and be glorified in this place tonight. Be magnified, be exalted. And let your name be glorified in us and through us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's have a look at looking at invited to life. And when one looks at the New Testament in the Gospels, there's all you see how Jesus interacts with people. It's really a blessing. It's incredible to see how he works with people. And often he extends invitations. You would often read that Jesus says to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Or some translation say it's near. And what he's basically saying is, listen, this is not something that's far off. This is not something that is an exclusive club for only a couple of people. This is not something that you cannot attain. This is something that is near you. It's something that's accessible to you. It's something that if you would choose to repent of your sin, I'm inviting you to be a part of this kingdom. So there's a whole bunch of times that we see him extending invitations like that. And we see him do it so graciously. We see the heart of God in not forcing himself on anybody, not kind of coercing people into something, but really extending an invitation to us and to these people that he interacts with in Scripture. And often we see, like for instance, Jesus approaching a blind man, somebody that's been blind from birth, for instance. And Jesus wouldn't make any assumptions, wouldn't assume anything about what that person wants. And he would say, listen, what would you have me do for you today? Isn't that amazing? And then the blind man would say, Lord, that I might see. And then Jesus would heal. And so often we see him, being gracious, and we see him extend invitations. And that's what tonight's all about. We're going to look at a little bit at some of that. And I want to start with Matthew chapter 4. From verse 18 here, where there's a very specific invitation extended. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they immediately left their nets and followed him. And this is a well-known account of Jesus starting to call his disciples. But we see him extending an invitation to them. He says, listen, follow me. I mean, come with me on a journey. There's some implications here. They need to leave their life. They know it. They leave their business, their livelihood. They leave their stuff right there. And they follow him. But the promise that is in his invitation here is that he says, if you follow, I will make. How often do we get that bit upside down? Maybe it's a bit of I know from a conservative Christian background, we come in this performance thing, and the society we live in is very much, performance and this bar, and if you get up to here, then this level, and you earn this many e-bucks. Yeah? there's all just levels and bars and stuff. And but Jesus says, listen, leave your CV, leave your achievements and your accolades, and follow me. I want to make you. It's not up to you to fix and try and perfect and strive and sort all of that stuff out. So that's how we think. We think, listen, let me just sort this out, because clearly this is unacceptable to God. I must just sort this part of my life out. The rest is kind of okay, but this bit is a mess. Sorry, let me sort this out and then I can. He says, no, listen, come. He doesn't really give them a chance to fix stuff. He just says, come. But I will make you. I will do the making and shaping and molding and changing, and I will bring the transformation that is needed. That's not up to you. For you, up to you is to come. Follow. And so that's the first invitation we start with. I want to look at a couple of things that God invites us to. And some specific ones. And firstly, if we think around the concept of an invitation, most of us, we like that, and we like an invitation. Huh? Yeah. Thanks. Very good. we have an agreement. I remember the days when invitations didn't come over WhatsApp. I'm not that old, but when invitations came in an envelope. What was that? And if it's like a really expensive envelope, and it's got like gold lettering on it, and it's like embossed, it's like, you feel the letters on it, then you're like really excited. Wow, what is this all about? And I actually once got an invitation that was a little box. This high, about this big, beautiful little box. Open it up. I could feel this stuff in there. You know, didn't want to shake it too much, but I opened it up and there was some sea sand in there and there was some shells and stuff going on and some beautiful things, and it was an invitation to a beach wedding. People went all out. I'll tell you what. Beautiful invitation. And immediately if you receive an invitation like that, I don't know about you, but if you receive a really cool invitation to something really amazing, you almost want to just double check the envelope. You know, just double check, is this really for me? Did I get this right? And then, but the moment when you get this amazing invitation, with that comes an expectation. Wow, this is going to be amazing. And this evening I'm trusting for something like that, that God would do something in our hearts, that we would see what He is inviting us to, and that that invitation that would be fresh to us this evening, to a point where we would be have a new expectation of what He is inviting us to. And His heart as He is inviting us. Let's have a look. Firstly, Jesus invites us to eternal life. Romans 6, 22 and 23 says there, "But now having been set free from sin, and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ." In Christ Jesus. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's have a look briefly at John 5 as well there, verse 24. "I tell you the truth, those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. They will never be condemned for their sins, but they have already passed from death into life." This incredible invitation, this is the most important one. Jesus invites us to the eternal life, the very reason why He came. And this is a free gift, the free gift of salvation, the free gift of eternal life, but it's the most expensive gift. It's free, but it's not cheap. Because God paid the highest price. He says, I value you so much. I value you, I value your life so much that I have paid the highest price. And I'm extending an invitation to you to join. Because of the price that has been paid, the price for your ticket, the price for your invitation has been paid. And I'm extending this invitation to you to come from wherever you are, and I'm inviting you into what I've prepared. Something different, something new. There's going to be some transformation happening, like we said before. There's going to be some change happening, but He invites us from wherever we find ourselves. He says, I have paid the highest price for you, not to remain in your sin, not to remain enslaved to sin, but to come and take part in the eternal life that I have prepared. Take part in the abundance of life for which I have paid the high price. Are you with me? So we are invited to eternal life. And he says, I will do the transforming. I will do the changing. Now this is a challenge for most of us, I suppose. Wrestling through the reality that becoming like Christ and being transformed and growing in our faith, growing in our relationship with Him, this cannot happen if there isn't change. And often that's something we struggle with. The pain that comes with change. Somebody once said that we often only change when the pain of staying the same is more than the pain of changing. Isn't that true? So we kind of hang in there until it gets too painful that we realize, no, I have to change. God is extending an invitation. He says, come. Be a part of something. Great. Come from your place of darkness. Come from that road that leads to death. Come into eternal life. Come and experience what I've prepared for you, not only in this life, but also in the life that is to come. Yeah, I really feel that God wants to minister to some people here. And I'm really, yeah, so what we're going to do is at the end, I'm going to try and be really brief. Okay? And at the end, we're going to just take a few minutes to worship together. And I really feel the Spirit wants to minister to some very specific people. So I'm going to, please bear with me. I'm going to kind of rush a little bit and be brief as we go through these. Amen. Okay. Let's carry on. God, Jesus invites us to a life free from the power of sin. Romans chapter 6, verse 14 says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace." John 6, 36, "Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." Jesus invites us to a life that is no longer enslaved to sin. You read now. We were under one set of rules before. We were under the law of sin and death. That's the law that we are born under. That's the law. Everybody is born under the law of sin and death. The law of meaning that you are born in sin and you will die. You're eternally dead. But Jesus, through His sacrifice on the cross, has paid the price for you and I to come out from under that law of sin and death into a new dispensation under the law of life in Christ Jesus. We shall, says here, sin shall not have dominion over you. You are not under that law anymore. And if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Now, this is an interesting thing. We've been chatting around this a little bit at marriage prep. I really enjoy doing marriage prep. Unfortunately, it's full this current cycle, but got about six couples invading our house on a Saturday morning, and it gets quite full and cozy, and it's amazing. And we chat about a whole bunch of things. It's really, really blessing. But we see this thing of this that people wrestle with the where they come from, their experience of marriage, and some roots in there. I'm going to mention this a bit later. About the roots, but what we've seen there is just, you know, people wanting to step out from under that and really enter into something new as they get married. Maybe having had a maybe bad experience with marriage growing up, and similarly, you know, you and I are coming from under the law of sin and death, and now we are free. We are under a different dispensation, but somehow the enemy, the great deceiver, tries to get us to fall back under that and that way of thinking. He wants us to come back under that way where we're thinking, where we feel enslaved to sin once more. And one of the ways he does this is he tries to keep us in darkness. He tries to make us feel like we can't speak to anybody. What we are facing is unique, and what we're challenged with and what we've done is unique, and we can't speak about it because those church people are also amazing, you know, they all look so perfect, and I don't know, I feel like I can't speak to my small group about this because they got everything figured out. Maybe it's just me. Any case. So the enemy tries to bring us back under that thing, and I want to hold before us this evening that Jesus invites us to a place that we are free from the power and the dominion of sin. We no longer under that power. We no longer go under that accusation of the enemy every day. We no longer go under that guilt and that shame that is thrown at us. And at the end, we're going to specifically pray for that. If you're wrestling with guilt and shame from the past, you're wrestling with accusations, God wants us to walk free. Amen. Are you with me? Okay, let's go on. God, Jesus invites us to a life of fellowship with God. John 1, verse 12, it says, "But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name." John 15, 15, it says, "No longer do I call you servants? For a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I've called you friends. For all things I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. And there's something really profound that Jesus is doing here. He's really going against a lot of what the guys that he's talking about have been related. It's a different way of relating to God than what they were used to. And I think for us, it's often the same. You know, I grew up in a bit of a conservative church background. And to be honest, there was a time when I thought of God maybe as a bit of kind of a stern, serious, stern, strict taskmaster. You know, somebody that lays down the rules. And if you step out of line, you're going to know about it. And I suppose often some of our experiences, the way we relate to God, has to do with how we relate to our parents growing up. But I felt specifically, you know, there's somebody here that maybe growing up you've had a bad experience in church. You've had an experience of something very harsh happened to you. Somebody treating you very harshly. And maybe you've grown up with this thing that this is the way God is. He's a harsh tyrant. He wants you to walk in line, and if you're not in line, he will zap. He's got a long stick, and he will whack you. Step out of line, and I'll put you right back in there. And I feel this evening God wants us to take a shift in how we relate to Him. The really powerful picture I had when I was a young Christian was of, now my context, my dad is an architect. Retired now, but you know, those days when I was young, he still had this huge drawing board there in his kind of study area where he was doing his thing. Massive thing with huge rulers and stuff, and lots of knobs and things that you adjust this thing, and very special pencils. They didn't have CAD those days, you know. Very special pencils that are not for kids. Not for kids to play with, very special, you know, all those things, different lines, thicknesses, and everything. And we discovered that you shouldn't turn those knobs and things, you know, you shouldn't adjust that desk because it's perfect. You know, it should be like that. Anyway, so we knew at that point, okay, when my dad is there and he's busy with his thing, then it's probably not a great idea to go into. But I had this picture right in my early years as a believer where God showed me that I can run to Him anytime. Even though He seems busy, even though the enemy might tell me I can't speak to Him or what I have to say isn't relevant, He said to me, you can come to me anytime. You can not only come run to me, but I want you to come sit on my lap anytime. No restriction. I feel that's the heart of the Father toward us. And if you've had an experience of a harsh taskmaster, or kind of being treated harshly in church, maybe as a young person, I feel this is for you. I pray for you often. Father says, come. As a parent, I relate to that. You know, when Abigail, my oldest, was about a couple of months old, I've mentioned this story before, but I before having children, before getting married, I suppose, I had quite a personal space, you know. People that were on missions with me will know this. You know, just, on missions, it was quite a challenge. But in any case, so I had a bit of a personal space. But, you know, praise the Lord, He delivers us on stuff like that. You know? So Abigail, when she was about, well, like 8 months old or something, there's a period when the immune system kicks in and they snotty nose for it feels like just a year on end. And she's so affectionate. You know, she would come up to me and give me these amazing hugs, and then she would press her snotty face into my face. Like, look at this. Just oh, it's amazing. And the Lord delivered me from that. But my point is this evening is that Jesus says the same. He says, come. Come with your snotty face. Come with your filth and your shame and your guilt. Come with your sin, come with everything. I'm not intimidated by that. I love Him. I don't care what's going on. I'm not like David the other day. I don't care if you've missed. I don't care if you've got it all over the place. Just come to me. Amen. And you He invites us to a place of fellowship with Him. He invites us to a place of intimacy with Him. He invites us to come as we are. But He loves us too much to leave us there. He loves us too much. Yes, He's going to wipe your nose. He's going to say, let's just work on this aim thing. When you go to the, but He's going to take us from where you are, and He's going to take us from glory to glory. Are you with me this evening? He invites us to the place of fellowship with Him, intimacy with Him. Okay, let's go on. Jesus invites us to a life of rest. Now, before you get off on a tangent here, I'm not saying that you shouldn't work. Okay? You should work. You should study really hard. It's blessed to work. Let's see what he writes in Matthew chapter 11. From 28, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Normally stop there. Let's just see what he quantifies this. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Now, immediately there's a whole lot of things we can say around this, but I just want to point out one or two specifically. Jesus calls us, and He says, listen, I realize you're carrying burdens of guilt, shame, sometimes just the burden of sin. So heavy. He says, come. Throw that stuff off. I've got something different. And then another thing that he, as Christians, that he calls us to get rid of, he says, come and bring. Some of us are carrying dead works, guys. Some of us are striving so hard. Some of us are doing blessed things. But it's such a burden, it's such a heavy burden. And the scripture calls it dead works. When we are doing good things and blessed things that are amazing things to do, but not what God has got to do for us right now. Not His will for us. In other words, it's in the flesh. And dead works. It weighs us down and kills us. He says, bring those things and lay them down. Come to me, you heavy burden. Come to me. And he says, he explains where the rest happens. The rest doesn't happen when you're vegging on the couch there with your mind dead and you're in front of the TV or something. Or yes, I haven't done this, praise the Lord, recently, but I must confess, I think once done this. And you watch the whole series, like almost in one go. Have you done that before? Please don't raise your hands. Yeah, any case. Not like that, okay? The rest that he's talking about is not a place of inactivity. It's not a place of passivity or apathy. It's a place where we find our rest in partnership with what he is doing. Yoking with Christ. He's inviting us. He says, listen, leave that stuff behind. Leave those heavy burdens. Leave those yokes and come and join me with what I am doing. Come and join my purpose, my plan. Come and join kingdom. Come and join what I am pursuing, not only in your life, but in your city and in your nation. Come and yoke with me and learn from me. That's an important aspect. Learn from me. There, in that place that has been designed for you, you've been designed for that purpose. That is where you will find rest. Does that make sense? I don't know if it's just there's a difference when, have you seen somebody doing sport with somebody that has a natural talent for something? It's really frustrating if you're obviously on the other end of the competition. It's really like you just feel powerless and that you feel it's unfair. But it's incredible to watch somebody that has natural gifting for something steps in and does something that you train and struggle and learn and do stuff, and they just do it effortlessly. I mean, that's what God is talking about. It says, leave that stuff, leave the dead works and come and into this partnership with me, and that's where you will find rest for your soul. Yes, deliverance from guilt and shame and sin, but also from dead works. Amen. You with me? It says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Partnering with Him. Okay, let's go on here. It says, Jesus invites us to a victorious life. In Revelation 12:11, it says, and they have defeated Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the testimony, and they did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die. They defeated Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the testimony. 1 John 5:5 says, who can win this battle against the world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Yes, there's a battle going on, guys. You know, we were chatting through stuff in marriage prep, and you know, I'm just going to say this straight. It's so funny, because these guys are so excited, right? And they're so expectant, and it's beautiful, you see, and it should be like that. And obviously, I haven't been married for ages, but just over 10 years now. And you can clearly see when I talk about something like conflict or arguments or some stuff that challenges are going to arise or some difficulties, there are one or two faces that I can see this person is thinking, this is never going to happen. We are blessed. We are saved, for goodness sake. That's never going to happen. We've never had an argument in our life before, you know. And then I have a good poker face. It's one of the good attributes of a pastor. To learn good skills, the poker face. And then you says, yes, but you know, let's just talk about it any case. So one of the things we've been chatting to, as I mentioned earlier, is that the reality of what has come before now. So where do I come from? What did I grow up in? What family did I grow up in? What's the spiritual dynamic of where I'm from? What are all the things from my ancestors to right now that have contributed and have had impact on who I am now and what I am and the situation I find myself in. What is all that? What are the roots? And then to look at those, not from the perspective of a victim, because often that's what we do, right? That's what the enemy would like us to do. He says, listen, this is the way it is. Maybe you've had alcoholism in your family for generations. This is the way it is. This is just part of who you are. That's what the enemy is trying to say. He says, listen, you don't have a choice in this matter. You are born like this. And he wants us to just accept, you know what, you know, that's how it is. These are the circumstances, the hand I've been dealt. Have you heard that? And I must just accept it. I must just be happy with this reality of my identity. Jesus says, no. I want you to look at and be real with where you come from. That I have, by the blood of Jesus, have made provision for you to change, to be transformed, to be free from that stuff. I'm inviting you to victorious life, to overcome all the stuff on your path. So it's so important for us to recognize the roots, to recognize what's had an impact. Not to put our head in the sand and ignore it, but to say, yes, this is real. But then to say, Lord Jesus, thank you for your blood. Thank you for the resurrection power of Christ. That I can be victorious. I'm not a victim anymore. Amen? You know what? There's so much joy in when you see something and you actually, the Lord opens your eyes and you recognize that there's something that has been coming down generations in your family, maybe an illness or maybe an addiction, or maybe that's something had an impact on generations. And you realize that God is inviting, Jesus says, listen, I'm extending an invitation to you to draw the line. Say this far and no further. This will not go on beyond anymore. In other words, my children will not have the same issues that my grandparents had. Amen? So God invites us to a life of victory, a victorious life. He says that Who can win this battle that only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Guys, the reality is there is a battle going on. The reality is that when you and I pursue the purpose of God, when you and I pursue God Himself, one kingdom, His kingdom is advancing in our lives and through our lives. And when one kingdom is advancing, inevitably there's another kingdom that has to give way, has to move out of the way. So there will be resistance. There will be backlash. There will be something coming against you. If you're, the moment you get, especially when you're born again, and you, especially when you get baptized, baptism is a ceremony, but it's a very public declaration of what has happened in your heart, what has happened spiritually. Amen. You die with Christ when you go under, and you are resurrected with Christ, and now you are a new person. Marriage is similar. We make a declaration, a public declaration of a covenant that we are making with a person and with Jesus Christ. And we're saying it in front of everybody. We're making a declaration, not only in public, but also in the spirit. And in both of those things, what happens is the enemy also takes note. He says, whoa, this is dangerous. Somebody is getting baptized. Somebody is actually stepping into the reality of a partnership. This is dangerous stuff. And now, and same with the wedding, with a godly marriage. This is dangerous to the enemy. So the reality is that he put the target on you. I'm not saying this to make you afraid. This is how it is. But at the same time, I'm saying that Jesus Christ, through His blood, through the power of the cross, has already made provision for us. He's inviting us to a life of victory over anything that may come against. But the reality of stuff coming against us, I want you to be aware of that. But at the same time, we have nothing to fear. He has already made the way. He's already won the victory. He's already paid the price by the blood of Jesus and by His resurrection. He's already overcome sin and death. He's already carried every curse and every sickness and everything that we may face. He's already made provision. So this is not a matter of fear. This is a matter of, yes, I realize I'm stepping into a war zone. I'm going to be awake. I'm not afraid. I'm awake. Amen? He invites us to a life of victory. Victorious life. There's a precious place in the Old Testament where God is picking the nation of Israel through the wilderness, and it's really, you must go read that again. It's really amazing, the ups and the downs, the victories and the lows and the highs and everything. And it's amazing. There's one amazing place where God is really putting a massive kind of a crossroads in front of the nation of Israel. And He says to them, this is what's going to happen when you partner with Me and you're obedient to Me. The blessings and the promises, they're just lists and lists and lists. It's incredible. But then He also says, this is what's going to happen. Choose different. And one place He actually says, I put before you life and death. And then He even gives them a tip. He says, choose life. And we laugh because, you know, we need that tip because we often choose wrong. Jesus, I feel that's what He's holding for us. He says, I'm inviting you. There's an invitation is there. And it stands. And every day, I feel this is something God says, every day you are set before you life and death. Set before you that My invitation to fellowship with Me, eternal life, the fullness of life that I have prepared in Christ. Yes, it's hard, there's difficulties, there's trials and tribulations, there's all kinds of things. But I'm setting before you life. Choose wisely. And I really have in my heart this morning, this evening, that God is wanting to hold us before on a daily basis. Daily. I can choose, Lord, I can choose life. Daily to choose to accept the invitation. How often do we choose to just accept the status quo? Just to accept, you know, like I said before, this is maybe just the way it is. My children, praise the Lord, they often remind me, you know, when I'm not feeling well physically, or it doesn't really happen often, but praise God. maybe, you know, when I'm not well or something off, then they're often the ones that say, but let's pray. And I'm already reaching for the pills, you know, the headache pills or whatever it is. I told you the story where I once, just before we came back from England, I knocked my head going up the stairs really severely, like I'm almost passed out. Okay? Bah! And I was like there on the stairs, like on my knees, recovering, holding my head. And then Abigail comes and puts her hand right there on the sore place. And I'm like, wow, stop, what are you doing? And she keeps on putting it. And I'm like, what are you doing? It's really painful. And then I realize she's laying hands on me. She wants to pray. I'm like, I'm just still recovering. You know? How often do we just want to kind of press through it? We want to just, you know, white knuckle it and press through a difficult thing or just accept the status quo. And Jesus says, no, I'm inviting you to a victory. I'm inviting you to overcoming. I mean, the invitation stands. Will you just cruise? You know that I told you about that invitation, the one with the box? That's the most beautiful invitation I ever got. But I couldn't go. And often, yeah, I had a really important exam and I had to make a difficult decision, etc., you know, degree or wedding. But but often, you know, we see this invitation on a daily basis and there's so much going on that we don't pay attention and we don't recognize it for what it is. And we miss it. Do something else. And we kind of get so engrossed with life that's happening, we miss the invitation. So I want us to take a few minutes to just worship together. I want the band can come up, please. You know, worship together. And then I'm really trusting God. We're just going to wait on God for a few minutes. We're going to ask Holy Spirit to speak to us. And if you feel you have a word for somebody, I want you to come to the front. I want you to share that word and we're going to trust. And guys, now is the time to be bold, right? Because if you feel somebody shares something that's relevant to you, God is speaking to you. Please be bold and come to the front. We're going to have some facilitators in the front. We're going to pray for people. I really feel the Holy Spirit wants to minister very specifically into lives. I know this is weird for some people, but He knows you better than you know yourself. He knows what we need, and He knows where we're at, and He wants to meet each one where we're at. And then, I've got an expectation of God to minister to us. I want us to be open to what He's saying, and be bold to respond. Amen. Let's stand.
Thanks for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that you enjoyed your time with us, establishing God's kingdom and His glory in your life. For more info, call us on 012-362-1363. Email us pretoria@shofaronline.org. Browse our website, www.shofaronline.org, or like us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.